morning. Welcome to Sunstone West, held the 28th of March, 2009, Cupertino, California. I'm Carol Quist. I'm a member of the Sunstone staff in Salt Lake City, Utah. My turn to talk. Welcome to the first session of the symposium, our morning devotional. This is an excerpt of a devotional that was given by our son, William Benyon Quist, in 2001 at Salt Lake City, Utah. He died in October of 2004. His devotional is entitled, The Goodness of God. I was born and lived in Utah and the Western States until moving to New Jersey when I was five. We moved to Saudi Arabia when I was a teenager. And after a year there, I moved to Salt Lake City, Utah, where I lived with an uncle's family and attended Highland High School for a year. The reason? No high school was then available for American teens living in Saudi Arabia. Our family moved back to New Jersey, where I graduated from high school. We moved to Utah. I went to Brigham Young University. I went on a mission to Coventry, England. After I came back and returned to BYU, I married a wonderful woman, Elsa Jean Wells, and soon found we were expecting our first child. Now, I had never heard of morning sickness. I had never even heard the phrase. I had no idea what it was, even. My wife knew the term, but she had decided that it was just something that happened to some women who didn't have very good control over their minds and bodies. She was not going to have morning sickness when she became pregnant, but she did. She was extremely ill, morning, afternoon, evening, through the night. First, I was worried about her because she was my wife. Second, she was our source of income. I had a full class schedule, and even when I had time to do something, I could do very little for her. Morning sickness just goes on and on and on and on. That particular winter in Provo, the weather was the worst in years. So even out of our one tiny apartment window, all she could see was gray. Very little change from our apartment walls. Frankly, it was an awful time. Nothing we did seemed to help her. Well, one night, we had just said our prayers as a couple, and she had rolled over to try to sleep. I was still on the floor. I was not praying. As far as I knew, I was not doing anything spiritual at that moment. I was not asking for the experience that followed. In fact, I had never heard of anything happening to anyone like what happened to me in just a few seconds. It was a complete surprise. I had just mentally reviewed everything that was going wrong with our lives, financially, medically, academically. I thought, well, I'll just have to do the best I can because I don't know anything else to do. All of a sudden, I was enveloped, permeated, surrounded, overwhelmed by a feeling I had never experienced in my life, and actually, I had never heard of anything like it either. I was filled with the love of God. I can assure you that if you had gone through that experience, and maybe some of you have, you would have known that it was His love. You would have been transported almost physically, psychologically, spiritually, by the power of that experience. I certainly was, even though it probably lasted 2 or 3 seconds only. It was such an overwhelming experience that what it lacked in length, it made up in depth. And I still feel its echoes when I recall that experience. That was a very powerful emotional experience. Then just as suddenly, I had what I can label only as an intellectual experience to put right next to the emotional one. The powerful feelings went away, and suddenly I could feel or see as if my mind were being lifted out of my current situation, out of my life track. It was being so lifted up so that I could look over my previous life. It was as if I were looking at snapshots that summarized my life, the whole lineup from early childhood to the moment of our life in that detestable shoebox of an apartment. I could see how my whole life was memorialized, was preserved in this record of these pictures of it. It was very impressive, because it showed me that it was all there. It was all preserved. It was all recorded. It was all known. The next thing I knew, I felt like myself, my personality, was being moved to behind a great space. I understood that I was being allowed to see me, to see my life and my current circumstances as God saw them. I was being shown that God really knows all of it. He sees all of it. It's all there in front of Him, in front of His eyes. That too was an amazing experience. And I could see a little shoebox of an apartment, the roof lifted up, the walls fallen out, to show me that it was all there in front of God, and He knew all about it. Some people may ask, why is that comforting? And maybe the logic is kind of poor, but since then, repeatedly, when I have gone through awful times, it has been comforting to me to know that someone knows about it. Someone with immense knowledge. Someone has me in front of His eyes, or under His eyes, or before His eyes, and that this particular person has this incredible love for me beyond anything I had ever known or ever read about or heard about before. And so I have felt that if such a person, a being with such a knowledge and such a love for me, knows about it, it's okay. I trusted His judgment, His knowledge, His love. If He thought it was okay for me, let's say, to lose my tonsils, although that had happened before, fine, I'll give them up. Or whatever the experience may be. It was a great religious impact. And over the years, that particular double experience, emotional and intellectual, has been a tremendous foundation for me religiously and spiritually. Now, the intellectual part of this event lasted perhaps 5 or 6 seconds, I don't know. Well, of course, the first thing I did was tell my wife what I had just felt, what I had just seen. And she found that immensely comforting. Why it came to me and not to her, I don't know. Because I'm sure physically she had much more need than I. Maybe the good Lord knew that I would have a greater emotional need down the road, or spiritual need, or some other kind of need. Over the years, anyway, I have remembered that. And so when I have run into questions or doubts or problems, and I have run into some fairly serious ones, I remembered that basis, the bedrock of what I believed, was very secure. It was sound. It was there. And for me, the basis of my religion was and is that God lives. God loves me. I trusted his knowledge of me and my life and whatever I was going through. And boy, that covers up a lot of gaps, a lot of holes, a lot of questions and problems. And I hope that my personal testimony to you from my own experience may be reassuring. In recent years, I was diagnosed with terminal brain cancers. And people have asked me, you know, or they've told me that they would pray for me and put my name on the temple rolls and ask their family to pray for me to be healed. If they asked me what I thought about that idea, I had a hard time saying yes. I was torn. My children, my wife, my family, of course, pulled me to stay on earth with them. But also, since my experience, something was pulling me toward the next life. I have really looked forward to feeling that love again from God. And I still look forward to it. Now, I don't judge the foundation of others' testimonies, but I assure you that the experience I went through was or is not a prompting. It is and was not some kind of vague impression or feeling. It's the goods. The goods. And so I can tell you from personal knowledge and feeling and experience that God does live. I believe that he loves every one of us just as much as it was conveyed to me that he loves me. Now, what should my experience mean for others? Perhaps nothing more than what we can read in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 46, verses 13 and 14. Quote, "To some, it is given by the Holy Ghost to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he was crucified for the sins of the world. to others. It is given to believe on their words, that they also might have eternal life if they continue faithful. Again, this is an excerpt of a devotional given by William Benyon Quist in the Salt Lake City Symposium, August of 2001. Anyone is welcome to comment, ask questions, leave, ponder, meditate. As I mentioned at the beginning, William died in 2004, leaving a wife and six children.